You're not doing that. You're standing over here.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the fellowship with all of us. I give you my peace. Our host tonight is Trisus. Trisus?
Hello. So we were going to talk about the repentance video, but we're going to not do that tonight and leave more room to talk about the Chief Apostle Service and our experiences. And
you need to pray, bro.
Anybody else? So I'm going to, of course, open because I forgot to do that, right? Mm-hmm. So let's yes. bow our heads.
And then you're going to let me read Father's message. And then
yes. Go. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Process.
Yeah. I skipped ahead. Sorry. I haven't done this enough. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We as your guardians are here to be able to talk about our experiences, to share each other's joy, be able to be in your glory. We look forward to these meetings so much, Father, fellowships, that is. Being able to share our hearts and be able to see each other is a high point for the month. We look forward, Father, to the things that you'll be having us do in the future. And of course, we ask for the strength and the wisdom to be able to do those things. Open our hearts now, Father, and sit with us. Let us feel your presence. We love you. We ask this all in the Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. I met with Father Thursday. Here's what he said. Bear with me. I'm still fighting through this sinus infection thing. My dear children, a hearty welcome, and please accept my love and peace. Many hearts have been troubled over the past months with monetary, physical, and relationship issues. Besides that, your faith has still remained strong. Love and healing are what I will give you in this fellowship. Some of you feel as though you have been fighting through your own personal war and are losing it. Others are depressed and down about the world around them and feel there's nothing or very little you can do to change it. Some have come to me and I have been able to comfort them. All of you, I will now comfort. Please take a deep breath and let go of all your pain and worries. I replace them with peace and understanding. Some of what you are feeling is from eternity. In some cases, the souls are depressed, feel lost and hopeless. This is what you are attuned to, regardless of you not going there. I have connected your hearts to eternity. Why? Because you can help there. Please go. Just go and stand in a realm with Jesus. You do not need to say anything. Your presence shines love upon each soul you encounter. Please go to the realm of paradise and visit with your families. They are waiting to hold you and comfort you. Yes, they will comfort you. This plan of mine is not just one-sided, being that everything comes from the living and the dead take. It is give and take. Your families have been watching you suffer. Perhaps you have thought of them or even have seen more of them in the past month than in any other time. I have sent them to you. Embrace their energy, absorb their love and compassion for you. No one understands family better than family. This is my gift to all of you for your service and help. Now, perhaps I should tell you why I sent your family. It is because some of you still have not come to see me, and that is simply fine. I will touch your heart and help you any way I can. Muhahahaha. If I were evil, that would have been my evil laugh. I have plotted to help you. Do you feel my love? Do you feel my help? Do you know that I do understand your heartaches and worries? Do you know that I can help, heal, and guide you through this part of your life? Not one of you on this team fellowship is devoid of heartache, pain, suffering, and at times grows anxious about the future. Not one of you. Please take heart in knowing that. I do not expect my guardians and children to always be up, to always be positive. to always do the right thing. I did not even expect this from Jesus. It is okay to feel down, to feel angry, to be frustrated, to feel overwhelmed, to be disgusted, and to feel lost. I give you permission to feel your emotions. Stop trying to be a perfect robot. Does that make sense? All of you are still a little human, even though you are new creatures. I did not take your hearts and emotions away. If I did, you would act like angels, because they do not have a soul. They do not have a piece of my heart inside of them. You do. That is why you are so incredibly special to me, Jesus, and HS. And yes, Tryland too. He does not take any of you for granted. With Derek leaving, he felt the sting as Jesus did in his time. Derek chose to leave the team not because of anything anyone did or said. He left based on his own emotions, and I will still bless him and his family. Tryland has been struggling this month, just like you. Maybe I should not share with you, but I will. For the past few weeks, Tryland has come to us and not said a word. But stood there, unable to speak his heart. But we heard him. We hear all of you within your own silence. I'm opening my arms, and I am surrounding you with a big fatherly hug. Feel it now. Yes, Trylon was crying the whole time he took my message. What a big baby. I will tell you again, feel your emotions. Do not ignore them. Let them out. Recently, Trylon and Starlight decided to write a daily journal again. It has helped both of them through some tough times. It helps a person to reflect on what they are thinking, feeling, and even trying to ignore. I encourage all of you to write a journal. You'll be surprised how much better you feel. Yet, it is a form of meditation. Sometimes you need to read your own words to see and understand yourself. That is all I will share from the personal archives of Trylight. I do not want them to be mad at me. Please, my dear family, always know that Jesus, HS, and I are here to help you so that my plan can come to its completion and all of you can come home. And that's that. Any questions? Comments?
Trylon, don't. I hope you don't feel like you're alone when you just go to Father and you don't say anything or don't do anything, because that's happened to me too. And there's times where I'll go to the throne room, and I feel like I have a ton to say, but I have nothing to say. And so I'll just sit in his lap, and I will literally fall asleep, physically, spiritually, everything. Fall asleep and wake up feeling like, oh my goodness, what happened while I was out, you know. I know exactly where you feel, dude, and please don't feel like you're alone in that, because that happens to me quite frequently, more often than I care to admit, but it does.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You know, I'm glad you said that you sit in his lap, because it's like when I go and I connect with him, he just pulls me in, holds me.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, I was grounding that space to the earth. And then one time I went in and I thought, well, I don't want to do that. So I just put a sphere around us to hold me there. Because we know how easy it is to forget that we're with them. And we just go on with our life. And then half a day goes by and we think, you know, am I still there? But I go back.
Yeah. And the other thing is too, in that light, is I pog Jesus, I pog HS, and I pog Father. They always smile when I do, and I notice them when they smile.
Mm-hmm. That's a good plan.
I hug the stuffing out of Father, and I pog while I'm hugging him. And then I feel his hands on my back, and that's how I know it's him, because the other guy likes to pretend to be Father a lot. And it's been very disheartening after an hour. And I'm like, man, what is going on? And then I hear him laughing at me. I'm like, ah, not again. Not again. It's interesting. Father said that we can feel our emotions. I mean, I've been feeling less of a guardian these last few weeks because of just everything, you know. And it's nice to know that we can just be ourselves because, you know, he said we're not human, we're a different creature, but it's nice to hear that affirmation that we can still feel. Believe me, there's been a lot of emotions flying around this room. So thank you for letting us know, Tryland.
Good. I was a little surprised when I started taking his message because he's never presented this kind of help to us in the past. It's usually, here's what I need you to do, and here's what you're not doing, and stop doing that, and now you need to start doing this and stop focusing on the world. And the whole time I was writing this, I just kept looking at him, thank you. Because I know I'm not the only one who's been struggling through different things. I know we all have our ups and downs. And when he was continually telling all of this, I couldn't help but break down half the time, which is embarrassing because then people walk into my office to do something and I'm standing sitting there. I'm like, I got something in my eye. It's this sinus infection. Oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah.
It's interesting that this morning something came out that goes right in line with Father's letter that just is amazing. And we heard in service today that when we pass into eternity, we're judged. But what that means is we're either, I mean, if I don't know if anybody's worthy yet, but worthy to be in paradise, a lot of souls are, and they do that, but not everyone. And so they're basically placed in a place where they can continue to work on themselves, and they have the opportunity to come to service and all of that. But a district elder brought that out, and then I remembered that there was a service that we had in the past where the chief apostle talked about that when souls go into eternity, they are judged. So it's kind of like an evaluation. Okay, where are you? Okay, you need this. So, it's not like the last judgment thing. It's just like an evaluation of where you are. So I sat and talked with Maxine today when we just talked about who's 100. And we haven't talked a lot lately because just a lot of commotion going on. I mean, a lot of, we didn't get to really sit and talk. So we did today. And she said something about we'll see the Lord when he comes. But then she said, but when we pass into eternity, will we be able to see him? And I sat in the moment for a second and thought, well, I can see him now, and I know that he wants everyone. He's available. They're available to everyone, and they're always with us. And so the only reason that we can see him is because he's drawn us to see him, right?
Yes.
And so our loved ones in eternity who are in paradise, I'm sure can see him. Because they're in paradise where he walked with Adam and Eve. And so that was really nice. I mean, it was like a night a clearer confirmation that what I said to her is in Father's letter. Mean, that's just beautiful.
And the nice thing too is he's encouraging all of us to go into the realm of paradise to see our family members. And if we were not at a level of bride, he wouldn't allow us to go there. You have to
Say that
understand,
again. Say that again.
if we were not at a level of being part of the bride, he would not allow us into the realm of paradise. I'm not saying that we're better than anybody else, or that we've got a leg up on anybody. But even it came out on the service today, they spoke of blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, right? That has
Okay.
absolutely nothing to do with sin. It has everything to do with our desire to be with him. And if we want to see him because we love him so much, he allows us to see him. And that's what that is.
Okay. Interesting. You're going to force me to rewatch this fellowship because there's just so much good stuff. We're only 15 minutes. We're only 15 minutes in.
We better stick around to the end.
We should be.
Yeah.
You know, we should be, and we always forget. We have to make a schedule. I'm telling you right now, I'm saying this out loud. I have to make a schedule for myself that includes everything that we need to do as Guardians. Because I have this list of these things, but I don't put that stuff on there because I think, well, I'm going to do that. But it's got to be on the list.
The good thing is, though, is that we can't screw this up, and we don't need to get lost in the minutia of processes of being a guardian. Does that make sense?
Yes.
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 But I guess from my perspective, Cindy and I are going to give a healing to someone. I'm going to do it, and Cindy's going to be there, and I'll draw her in as we need to. And shame on me that I don't have it on my list, that I don't spend time every day training her. She still says, I can't give her a healing. I don't know what. And of course, because I need to do it. So that's my commitment. Set in front of all these people. Thank you.
It's being recorded.
I know. Anyway.
So, Sandy and Jerry had an opportunity to be at the Chief Apostle Service. And Tryland had texted us three to see if they would share their experiences or some of their experiences. A great photo with him on the meeting on Saturday night. So Jerry and or Sandy, or Sandy and or Jerry, do one of you want to jump in and share, please?
Sure. It was a beautiful weekend. And on Saturday, we had all the ministers and spouses from the Apostle Klein's and Apostle Fearbach's working area.
Nice.
Had a service with the Chief Apostle and the Canadian Apostles and the American Apostles, and Apostle from Peru and Apostle from Venezuela. It was a very special moment. Before I went down, I was getting ready, and I was like, I need to go see Father. So I went before the throne, and I walked up and sat in his lap, and I didn't say anything either. And he overshadowed me and hugged me, and he's like, I'm gonna give you some gifts. And he gave me a cloak. He put the cloak over me, and then he gave me a dagger. He said, Trisus wants you to have this. It was a long dagger, and then he pierced my heart with it. And then he said to me, you're done fighting wars. You're going to focus in on working in eternity. Nice. So your next battle will be at the with Triland. And so and he goes, I'm going to gag you. And he put a coal, burning coal, in my mouth, and he put this gag over me. Okay. And he goes, what you're going to do is going to pog. I said, okay. So went to this service. It was a beautiful service. Chief Apostle mentioned about how the Old Testament has to be viewed upon the way through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the reason for the Old Testament, and that we shouldn't use the Old Testament to impose our Christian views on people. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. Spoke about strengthening the congregations and taking time to uplift them, and not get involved in the politics of this world. Very in line with what we spoke about a couple months ago on a call about politics. And he gave us a reasoning of we follow Christ. He kept on saying, believe in Christ, believe in Christ. And then there is an apostle from Canada that I don't really know. He's young, served along as well. Julie, I don't know. I think he's from like Alberta or something like that.
Storm.
Apostle
Strum.
Storm.
Storm. Okay. And he mentioned about how we have to go down to the youth and to the Sunday school and meet them where they're at. Because I know we think that things used to be different when we were young in the youth. And he mentioned, he goes, we have to meet the youth where they're at and the Sunday school where they're at. Not worry about what happened in the past, but we have to look forward to the future. And God placed us in this position now, and we have to work together. So, that's Sandy's probably took notes about the service more than I did. But we had a special moment with the chief apostle. I asked him to pray for my Sunday school, because we were building a Sunday school and on the Crow Reservation. So he said, absolutely. I got to, I met the district apostle Wool, and he keeps on saying, you look so familiar. You look so familiar. And then I met the apostle Martik, and I gave him words of encouragement that in his, I told him, I said, you might think that you have shoes to fill. I said, you don't have to worry about the shoes of the past. You have to fill your own shoes, and you will be amazing at doing that. And he goes, Jerry, I don't know, but you look so familiar. And then, of course, got to be with all the apostles from the US. And it's nice because they know me by first name. And we have intimate times together. And I had one of the pluses about, smoking is having intimate time with the district apostle Detner because he smokes too, and I hung out with him for about 15-20 minutes, and we talked about the work in the Congo and the struggle that the brothers and sisters in the Congo have. And it was just a beautiful weekend, a wonderful weekend, and everyone that I shook their hand and hugged, I pogged, so all the apostles have been pogged.
Sweet.
And yeah, so I don't know, that's what I have. So I don't know, Sandy, if you got anything to say.
I just want to interject a thought. Quit showing up in their space and in their dreams. Just mellow out, man.
Look so familiar.
I actually had the opposite because I ran into people that I knew quite well, like the Guderians and the Metzgers. And both the Guderians and Matt Metzger looked at me and went, "Who are you?" And I'm like, "Come on, I have not changed that much." But yeah, it was, I think it was the chief apostle on Saturday night that said, we often hear that, oh, it's so much harder for the kids nowadays. And, they just have it much harder. And he said, stop saying that. They don't have it any harder than any generation before them. And that generation thought it was hard for them. But they made it through and they paved the way to where we are today. And he said, so we need to stop saying that.
Yeah,
And
Chief Muscle also mentioned in that vein, he also mentioned, listen, what we need to stop saying is that the ministers of old, that they did not have all the tools. He said they have the they had the tools, and they worked like we work now. And we shouldn't diminish what they did in the past, because this is where we are in the future because of them.
I've never heard that. That's interesting.
Nor have I. That's terrible.
No. It's terrible you haven't heard it.
No, it's terrible the people who say.
Yeah, that goes against everything we were brought up with of using the foundation and the prior work. I mean, I still respect the men, and well, there weren't women, but men at our time, right? And revered them for what they did. We'll have to pray about that as a group then, because whatever that spirit is, that we gotta nip that in the bud, like Barney Fife says, right? That's horrible.
Yeah, it's been said before. I've heard it before.
You've heard that?
Oh yeah, a lot.
We gotta pog whoever's saying that. You need to. Yeah, well, I don't know if I can tell you what to do, but I would recommend, it's my opinion, whoever that is, Jerry, pog them, and you need to ground them, because that's a horrible. That could destroy the work very easily.
Starlight could have said under her breath, if you're doing the Lord's work, why wouldn't he give you the tools you need to do his work?
Wait, say that again, Jim. I mean, try it.
Starlight just said under her breath while you guys were talking, if you're doing the Lord's work, why would he not give you the tools to do his work?
Right. That's very short-sighted.
It may not be what it is today, but it's not supposed to be that, right?
Exactly.
They were doing what they needed to do then. In order, like, my word has always been evolution for like the past like couple of days. It's like everything is the evolution. Everything's always changing and moving forward and growing. And it's nothing is going to stay.
It's dynamic.
Yeah.
It changes. And the thing is, when throughout the entire history of humanity has it ever been the same?
Right.
It's continued to grow.
Okay. And so.
Go ahead,
Dan.
So, if you think about, we weren't ready back when it was the way that it was for us to have an intimate personal relationship with God.
Right.
Because we didn't even think of that. It was unconditional obedience of faith, which made our faith a solid foundation for our future.
And a very interesting point is the chief apostle said to the ministers, listen, just because you see something on the social medias from other ministers that they may have a point, and that point sounds good, but he goes, you need to go deeper and see what it is that they're trying to convey, because a lot of times that is not part of what the gospel is. He said, we're to preach the gospel. What he was doing was really enforcing the fact that we are our own church, that we cannot allow the influences, like you see a lot of evangelical preaching being done on Facebook, and ministers look at that and they grasp it and they go, oh, that's wonderful, I could use that. He goes, don't use it. He goes, before you do that, look and see what it says.
Interesting.
Because there was a lot of influence coming in from the evangelical church, mm-hmm. That ministers are using, because it's something, a catchphrase that they start using. And he goes, use the gospel. Read the Bible. Prepare yourselves for the services, and don't use slogans. You know, it was funny because the chief apostle mentioned, he said, just do it, you know, and he goes, oh, I'm sorry. I got a lot of letters the last time I did this. Yeah. But he goes, this is the point. We can't use slogans. You know, he goes, do what you must do in order for you to serve God's children. Serve out of the fullness of your ministry, but use the gospel, learn the Bible, you know. It was just really a call to be new apostolic and don't be or evangelical, you know, or non-denominational, you know, especially in the services. We are our own church, you know, we are the original church. We are the Church of Christ, you know. So it was interesting because when I got done, I sat with a couple brothers and they said, wow, I really need to adjust, make adjustments in the way that I prepare and the way that I can allow influences from the outside come and affect the way that my preaching or my serving is. And I said, wow, that's wonderful, you know.
Good.
I think the other thing.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I would think that that would go the same for the DSG, wouldn't it? If the Holy Spirit is calling you as a minister to say something behind the altar and you veer from it to stick to the DSG, are you really doing what Father wants you to be doing?
Well, yeah, the DSG is like a guideline, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes the Spirit calls you to say something. Because,
yeah.
For instance, sometimes we use the DSG as a guideline. You know, we don't want to read it word for word.
Right.
But we prepare for services and we struggle. And, you know, sometimes I struggle so much. I'm like, I'm calling Dan going, what is going on with this? And he's like, well, yeah, we'll sit there and hash it out for 2 hours, you know. And then we go, okay, he said something. I said something. Oh, wow, that's really cool. Okay. Then, you know, so it's something that we know that it's Spirit inspired. Even serving in congregations, sometimes the word doesn't fit for the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And you use that word and you say things that the Holy Spirit takes you. And I'm like, I didn't know I was going to say that, you know.
So I was just going to ask as a minister, because I don't have that experience then, Jerry, as a minister and Q. And even Triland, you say things and you're like, oh, wow, I was just spouting some real wisdom there and that wasn't me.
Yes, all the time.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I don't say it that way. I say, frankly, when I say something like that, I said, you guys know me. I can't just hold it back. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. And that is so cool that we just received that. Because I didn't know that, and I can't give it if I don't know it, but the Holy Spirit did.
Yep. So and a lot of the times, almost, is we serve ourselves when we're saying it.
Interesting.
So like a healing, you're getting a healing while you're serving yourself.
Yeah, it's like you're holding your hand against your, you know, and you're pogging yourself as you're serving, you know?
Gotcha.
That's how the Spirit is, and it's amazing. That's awesome. Sorry, Sandy.
I've in the past when I held a service gone like this. I hope you're listening too, buddy.
Yeah. But you know, the bigger picture of the whole thing is we have the Holy Spirit. And if you have any question about anything that you hear, talk to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, so help me to get this. Help me to understand. Is this something that is for me or is true or I should share? And regardless of whether you're a minister or not, because even when we're hearing servants over the altar, they might say something and we'll say, is it really that? And then what it really is comes. Now, we don't go to that minister and say, now you said this wrong. And no, because we have to realize that there are thousands of ministers out there in the New Apostolic Church, and the Holy Spirit speaks. And every time a service is held, we're blessed. But not everything is vetted by them, potentially.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, with Jerry and I, because we're here, you know, Quasar and me, we evaluate. Okay, what should we be doing? And the last thing I ever want to do is give myself an outline, then follow it.
Yeah.
Because then I feel like I'm doing a disservice. Yeah. I can tell you that the last service that I held, with all the things that came, I kind of put an outline together, never looked at it, and everything was covered. Really? Because the Holy Spirit gave that to me.
Because it was supposed to be.
Exactly. Yeah. But then if I, though, would look at it and follow it, I don't think that's the way the Holy Spirit wanted it to come out. That's, anyway. That makes sense?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, Sandy, you're up.
I was just going to say, I think for me, the thing about being at the Chief Apostle Service, especially on Saturday night, is I've been to Chief Apostle Services before, and they're usually quite big. And this was actually very intimate. And it was a much smaller group. And Saturday evening when we got there, and it was in the ballroom at the hotel, and we sat down, and Jerry and I were basically front and center of the altar and maybe three rows back, I believe.
Oh.
And nice. I actually sat there and I started crying because I just couldn't believe that I was sitting there that close to him. You know, yeah. It was just really awesome. And even on Sunday too, it was not that big, really. And we had really good seats for Sunday as well. And
yeah, it was, tickets,
yeah, we did.
Yeah. and then we had dinner after on Sunday.
Yeah.
With the chief.
Oh, that's nice.
And
it was pretty neat that we were able to, you know, the removal of evangelist to district elder, you know, that apparatus. Before, it used to be like if a chief apostle would come in, it'd be like rectors on up. And now all of that is gone, and it's priests and apostles.
Right.
So it's like the priests get to spend the same amount of time with the chief apostle as the district apostles and the apostles. So it's a lot closer, intimate situation now. It's a really beautiful thing to see.
And Jerry is right. I actually did take quite a few notes both Saturday and Sunday, but I think the two biggest things for me were, I thought it was, and I think he mentioned this on Sunday. I know he mentioned it on Saturday, but I guess I never thought of it this way, is he said the Old Testament was for the Jews. The New Testament is for the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? Like, and I also thought it was really funny that he did talk a lot about not having slogans, yet the thing that really stuck out in my head was more of a slogan, and it was actually the Apostle Olofsky that said it on Sunday, and he was talking about being a Mets, not a Mets fan, a Giants fan, and watching the game and biting his nails and all that stuff. And then he related it at the end, and he said, in the end, Jesus always wins. So our job is get in the game. Just get in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that and I went, oh, yeah, it's kind of like a slogan.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the last thing that also I wrote down and circled is, and I think he mentioned this both Saturday and Sunday, is he said the true enemy isn't the sinner. It's the sin and the evil one.
Yeah.
Mm.
That was really good.
Great experiences, guys. Any chance that those notes would be available, Sandy, like in a printed format that maybe we could all read, or just carbon copy and take a picture? Or mean, don't
yeah, I can type them out and send them.
Yes. And then Fred could post them, maybe?
Yep.
Cool. No one else gave me any ideas other than Atmos, or not. No one else really wanted to share anything formally, but Atmos has something, and we have a little bit of time. And then after he shares, if there's anything else anybody wants to share. So Atmos, you got the floor and the ceiling.
Thank you, sir. So real quick, had the opportunity to meditate last week and earlier this week. I always invite Jesus to come along with me. So he came along with me. We started in my ground chakra, and I don't know what everybody else's ground chakra looks like, but mine is a giant cement wall, like a breaker wall from the ocean. The ocean is crashing up against it, right? When the ocean represents life coming at it and crashing up against it. And we got there, and it was just in shambles, concrete chips everywhere, and a big giant crack right down the middle of the seawall. Seawater pouring in, and I was like, oh, this is a mess. And before I said anything, Jesus knelt down and just put his hand on it, and it was instantly healed. Perfect concrete, beautiful. And I was kind of blown away. And so I turned around and I fell on my knees and on my face. And I just said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done for me. And thank you for this. And he said, stand up. I have something else to show you. And he put the cross just beyond that breaker wall, between the breaker wall and the ocean. And in the ocean, in my ground chakra, is the setting sun. There's always the sun setting on the ocean with the ocean pounding on the breaker walls. And so now, he said, this cross now puts an extra barrier. This cross is a symbol of love. It is a symbol of hope and a symbol of forgiveness. This will help you broadcast your beliefs to the outside world and to keep bad things from the outside world coming in. It'll provide an extra barrier for you. And then he also laughed because it's also the emblem for the New Apostolic Church. And I was
right.
Yeah, I kind of picked that one up, right? I was like, yeah. That's awesome. You know, so I thanked him for that. And every time that I went to all my different chakras, Jesus was with me. The second one, Father showed up. And I bowed down and I praised and worshiped him after everything he told me and showed me. And then it's in my gut chakra, it was all three of them. And every chakra, I had an experience where I was bowing down to all three of them and thanking them for absolutely everything they had done. When we got to the center of my mind, I needed some work rebuilding. And so I asked, Father, can you help me rebuild this? And he said, absolutely. So he wiped it all away. We rebuilt it. And I have this little reading desk in front of me. And I sit down in the chair. And he goes, now we're going to take a look at this scroll. And he opens it up for me. Or he set it in front of me. And I opened it up with my hands. I had one hand at each end holding it open. And he said, do you understand what's written there? And I said, sure don't. And as soon as I said that, that scroll split in half at the middle. And it almost like dissolved up into my hands, into each hand. Each one side went to one side and one side went to the other. And then it went up and combined in my heart chakra. And he said, these are new tools for you to use. You will figure out what they are as time goes along. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. You know, that's amazing. So again, knees face down, praising him and thanking them for everything. And then we got to the crown chakra, and that was when he removed my old energy, and he said, this is a process we haven't done in a long time, and he replaced it with a new energy. And I haven't felt such love and hope. The biggest one was hope. I mean, I always feel Father's love when I go and see him, right? But hope was the overwhelming feeling, and knowing that the hope and the combination of knowing that we can't lose and he has us. And then no matter what happens, it's all good. So it was an absolutely amazing experience. And I just wanted to be able to share that with you guys.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
That is amazing. Just amazing. Does anybody else have anything special or unique that you want to share?
I got something. I'm going to tag team with Blazar a little bit. Blazar sent me an email or a text. I think it was an email telling me that he went to a realm of his ancestors and he couldn't talk to them. They refused to listen to him. And so he asked if I would go and talk to them. So I'll let you go first to explain to them what this was about, and then I'll step in and tell you what happened.
So my family descends from Spain. They've always been servants to lords and kings and dukes and all that. When Spain was invaded by the Muslims, they've been warring for 1,000 years. And a lot of them died fighting these wars for the sake of Christ, is what they were told. It was basically of power, right? That some king or some Christian king or duke or lord wanted to gain more lands, basically what it boils down to. And they eventually, it went until 1492 when they expelled all the Muslims out of Spain. And so for 1,000 years, these wars have gone on, and people and descendants of mine have fallen in these battles. And I thought, you know, these men died thinking that they were serving Christ. And so that's when I reached out to Trilin.
So I went to this realm, and there's a lot of anger and a lot of hatred. And they were trying to yell at me too. And Jesus was standing on my left side. And then I got angry and I said to them, who are you to not allow a servant sent by God to talk to you? And I said, all of you will be quiet. And I moved with my hand and they all got shoved out of the way and they couldn't talk. I said, all of you souls that are here that have been influenced by these guys and are tired of the negativity and the anger, I will take you out of this realm with me right now, and Jesus and I will take you to a different realm if you wish. You don't have to stay here. And they couldn't get out of that realm fast enough. About two-thirds of it emptied out, and they all came with Jesus and I, and I turned back and I said, and it's still not too late for you to listen to the servant of God, but you need to think about that. And I was pissed, and I left. But it was overwhelming for me to see how many people wanted help but couldn't accept it because other people wouldn't allow them to go. It confounded me because I didn't realize that a soul had that kind of power over another soul. They were afraid to leave because of these guys.
Wow.
And I don't know the whole backstory to all that, but that's the impression I got. And now two-thirds of these souls are now coming to the service in a couple weeks for the first time in all these thousands of years, which blows my mind.
Well, it's interesting. We've always heard that we don't change when we go into eternity. We are who we are. And of course they would be afraid of someone if they were an authority figure and they were the boss, and oh, I better keep my mouth shut. Yeah. I mean, it stands to reason, but I never thought of it either.
Nope.
But it's an interesting way to think about it.
Yeah, because whenever they'd call the banners, every farmer had to drop their pitchfork, pick up a sword and shield, and go wherever the Lord said you have to go fight. Because if they didn't, when they came back, they'd have their lands taken away from them because they were tenants. So they were powerless. They had no authority. They had no say-so. They were under a lord.
Reminds me of that movie about the Crusades, where the English would always
Kingdom
be like,
heaven.
God wills it. God wills it.
It's the Lord's will.
You know? And anytime somebody said God wills it, it's like, yep, let's go. Whether it was or not.
Right.
Yeah, that's Kingdom of Heaven.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I'm telling you is, if you're going to go into eternity and you see or feel like something that like that is happening, you have the power and authority to take them out of that realm.
Okay.
Take them to a different realm. We have that power and authority.
So it is okay for us to speak up a little bit in the realms if we see things that shouldn't be happening.
Yes, we do.
It's nice.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
All right.
And I'll tell you why. Because fathers will reign supreme. We are father when we go there. And we're not doing it because we're mad at them. I was mad that they thought they were justified in what they were doing. That's what I was mad at. I wasn't angry at the soul. I was angry at the spirits that convinced these people that what they were doing was justified.
Yeah.
We can be mad at the spirits. We can be mad at the sin. We are not mad at the souls. We are not judging the souls. We want to help the souls. I hope I'm explaining that correctly. Yeah. I don't want you going into a realm and trashing the place, okay? Don't go trashing the place.
I got a sword and a dagger ready.
Yeah, because I'm going to get a call and Father's going to go, what did you tell him they could do?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he's out to peril.
Mm-hmm.
I had an experience. Now I think about it, it was actually interesting. When it happened, these souls showing up to the building into the parking lot by the gazebo. If I look out my window, there's the smoking gazebo right there. And there's a roundabout where cars turn around, and the one or two souls, I mean, Satan likes to stand out there and laugh at me. A side note, but right before the hurricane hit, he was standing outside, jumping up like a fool, clapping his hands like an idiot. Just delighted that we were all scared to death. I mean, you know, and it just, I couldn't do anything. I ignored him, and I'll share something right at the end. But these souls that were coming before the chief apostle service, I kept forgetting it was the chief apostle service, and they were here, and there was more and more and more. And I finally asked my lady, I said, what is going on out there? You know, I mean, I can feel, see, I don't really see like Tryland or some of you. And he goes, they're here. They see your light. And I said, well, what do they want? And he said, invite them to the chief apostle service. So they watched and listened. And I said, what do I do with them? I mean, they can't just hang out here. This is not an appropriate place. I was tired that day. I actually forgot about that Sunday and then Monday and then Tuesday. Finally, he goes, you know, I went, oh, crap. He goes, there's no time. Don't worry about it. It's not like they've been waiting, like, you know. And I explained to him, I said, look, you've all heard a message. I said, but this is not where you can be. You need to go with these angels. They will take you to where you can find peace. And if you want, you can come back to services and you can listen to more of what you heard. If you don't want to come, that's fine, but you can't stay here. I was like the bouncer at the nightclub flashing the lights. I said, there's no salvation here. Yes, you see my light, but you've got to go. And most of them went. There's a few that are still hanging out. And of course, with the building full of 125 people now, and I, even though I asked for nothing to be brought in, there's so much energy and negative that is brought in. So it's interesting to live in a community like this. But I don't know if anybody else has these experiences where it's almost nonchalant now. I mean, it didn't even bother me that their soul is hanging out over there, you know. And I remember many times traveling with Tryland, and he's like, oh, they're running towards the car. I'm like, what? You know, and very famously, Kira's lived across from the cemetery. And, you know, I didn't at the time, wasn't aware or anything, but he's like, they're all standing right there waving. Okay. Yeah. So I guess my point is, be aware of the light that we shine and the attractiveness of us. And then the admonition of, we have to make sure we redirect them to where they need to go. That was my biggest lesson from this, is like, oh, they're here to see me. I'm like, why? No, they're not here to see me. They have Father's light in us they see Father's light in us. But does anybody else have anything like that that they want to share? Or
yeah, I want to share some things, but also comments about that, because there are times when the souls haven't moved on.
Right.
Could those souls potentially be that? Because they're if they haven't moved on, they're stuck here.
I'm going to assume that. I don't, again, Trilin, I'm stuck on that because I couldn't figure out why they were gathering. I've been here, again, the whole not, there's no time thing. Father keeps telling me, you keep thinking linearly like a human. Past, present, future. There, you don't know what they're seeing or feeling. They just see light. So
I have a theory.
Okay.
Hurricanes bring a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And so is storm hurricanes bring lots of energy, and the energy, you know, it's always that fear that brings that comes when, you know, everybody's preparing, you know. It's this weird feeling when, you know, when the hurricane comes into town, right, the day before, it's like oddness occurs and weird things happen and people start acting up and you start seeing people churn, right? A lot of souls have passed in the sea. So all that energy is getting drawn onto the land as well, and concentrated in one area. And that could be that energy of those souls that have been in the Gulf of Mexico, that have passed in the Gulf of Mexico, that are getting drawn in into Florida, right? Where it landed, right? And so you're getting all this tumult. That's where, you know, the chaos that occurs. That's why Satan is sitting there having a little dance, because he loves it, you know.
I wanted to smack him upside his head. He was just like a blithering idiot, you know, that like this is so wonderful, you know. And again, yeah, I'm glad that's an interesting point. And, you know, the souls that were around here in the neighborhood that I'm in is not nice anymore. It's getting worse. I've mentioned before, it sounds like firecrackers going off, and it's actually gunfire. I'm safe in our building, but it's, you know, we even had a fall festival, and I was said, hey, why don't we contact the neighborhood around here? And the manager's like, we don't want those people here. You know, and it's not a racist thing. It's the evilness that we don't want people to know we're here. You know, we're like an island. But anyway, I digress. I can't remember my last point. It was something lighthearted. So the opening hymn at the Chief Apostle Service, you know, conquering now and still to conquer. And the second verse, who is this king? And I went, singing about you. And Jesus does the finger thing. And he did it like over and over. And I'm like, I went, how often are you going to do that? And he goes, until you smile. I'm like, it was just, it was so wonderful. Again, mornings are difficult for me just to function and to be happy, but it was a little bit of joy for me. And he goes, lighten up, man. I'm like, okay, fine. Lighten up, man. You know, but I wanted to share that because it was, you know, as close as we are, the humor that is there. And again, I'm watching The Chosen, and the portrayal of Jesus and his disciples. It's amazing. I sit there bawling every flipping episode. If you've not seen it, it's a powerful, powerful show.
Let me point back up to the subject that you just talked about with the soul.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
We automatically think that because of the world that we dwell in, there's a light and there's a darkness, and it's always light at some point and it's always dark. On the other side of this veil, it's always dark. There is no sun. There is no light. So when they see light, they're going to run towards it. And that's what we are. And when there's fear, they're going to run towards something that feels warm, even though they don't have a physical body. we are all attracted to light, right? It's inherent in our soul to seek out light. That's why they come to you at that moment. That's why they come to us at different moments. We are the light of Father, the extension of his hand. Every child of God has that light because of being sealed with the Holy Spirit. And they know that because we're governed by him and we live our lives like him and we're Christ-like, they're not going to get turned away. Mm. Souls that are still in that spot where they are have now created for themselves their own little realm. That's their realm. And they don't want to leave it because they feel safe in that realm. I would encourage you to keep talking to them to tell them that there's a better place they can go that actually has light.
Okay. All right. I will do that. One thing about the show, I had asked Jesus, like, how's this guy doing? And he goes, he's doing okay. I went, oh, okay. You know, again, the actor himself used to play Jesus in a play yard and pretend he would be crucified.
Oh.
Yeah, he has a strong faith.
That's pretty heavy stuff for a kid. So, you know, and I was blown away that all of the actors, except for a couple, are all using fake accents. They all sound very Jewish to me. But if you haven't seen it, I encourage
like
you.
Shylocks.
What was that?
Like a Shylock.
Shylock.
Like Jackie Mason.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I tease God all the time. He doesn't sound like the comedian. I don't sound like that.
I was watching an interview. I was flipping through some reels, and I saw that actor was getting interviewed, and he goes, "What do you think if Jesus came to you? What would you want him to say to you?" And he said, "I wish that Jesus would say, I portrayed him well or okay, you know."
I didn't know that. That's interesting. Yeah, they're going to do seven seasons. Go ahead.
I also saw him in an interview recently because season 5 just started. And you can download season 5. And so the interviewer wasn't thinking, and he said, "So season 5 is coming up. Can you give us any little tidbits or sneak peeks?" And he goes, it's the Bible.
I thought immediately.
I thought that was hysterical.
I did see in a little town in Townsend, Montana, I had to go look at a car. And it's a small little town, a cute little town. And I saw a little advert. It said, come see The Chosen at the movie theater. So like every Wednesday, they'll show an episode of The Chosen in this town. I thought that was pretty cool.
Wow.
Yes.
I just want to print up bumper stickers that say Jesus wins. I mean, I know we're not supposed to do slogans, but we're getting so fearful of what's going to be happening because it's the end time. Every generation is taught it's the end time. We know a little bit more, but the fear of the evil one, I don't like saying his name. And even when I type, I don't like saying his name. He really gets upset about that, but.
Chuckle nut.
The what?
Chuckle nuts.
Chucka. Oh, well, you're much nicer than what I think, but I have to ask for forgiveness. But Jesus wins. We have to, I have to cut myself. Are you listening? Jesus will win, regardless of what we're going through. Special favor, Rick is scheduled to get sealed on Sunday. The Apostle Ferguson will be here. They are getting crap thrown at them, and they will not refuse to be faithful. They even have to move, and the landlord or the people that they rented the unit from, he gave them 6 weeks to move out. So they're living with a friend on the same premises in a one-room room until they can find a new place. He lost his job. He's got a new job. They almost lost their van. I mean, and he was here on Friday and said, what do you think I should do? I said, as far as what? He said, about Sunday. He says, I don't know if I can get off. Because they just changed the schedule. And he's, I said, in my strong opinion, you need to be there to be sealed. Because we don't know when the apostle will be back. One. And two, bro, you need the armor of God, the full armor of God around you. You're doing well, but mm-hmm. it's not going to get any easier. And when they text me about things popping off, I mean, they're seeing orange lights, free-floating orange light running across their place. Satan is standing in the doorway of their bathroom laughing at them. They can see him. And I keep asking, and you've even, Trilin, sent pinnacle angels. They are not going to give up. But if you could just pray for that, he can make it for the ceiling. And me too. I really would like to go. I haven't been to Orlando since Thanksgiving last year. Those are my two personal requests, please.
Tell him.
Yes.
Father is using him as an example of faith, just like he used Job.
I will do that. That's pretty heavy. I will do that. Okay.
And if he needs to quit his job, and Father will get him something else.
If they don't give him, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to type that. Anything else, my friends? We are now at 7:07. It's been a great fellowship.
Yes. I got no birthdays for October, no birthdays for November. But December 13th, lucky Friday 13th, is Atmos's birthday.
Atmos, happy birthday.
We're talking about him because we always forget him every year. Our next fellowship is Sunday, November 10th.
Looking forward to it.
Congrats, we made it to the end of the year again.
Yeah, 24 is almost done.
Thank God.
Maybe we won't have to worry about 25.
It's going to be a great year.
Woohoo! All right. Thank you, everybody. It was a wonderful fellowship. Thank you for sharing. We look forward to seeing Sandy's notes. And Trilin will be closing this evening.
My pleasure. Kind Father, we say thank you for allowing us this time again to come together, to spend time in the fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters, but also with you. And even, Father, as we think about your message, it is always timely, it is always effective, and it always helps. You have heard the conversations of all of our brothers and sisters tonight, the experience they've had, the different souls that we've come across, the different cares and concerns of the others that are fighting through their faith. And in these moments, Father, we know that it's easy for us to say things and then hope they'll happen. But, Father, we can say things and know they will happen, because you've given us that assurity. We pray, Father, for all the hearts that have gathered here with us and all the struggles that we all fight through, that you have given us the strength to bear them because we are all still here. You have also blessed us in our monetary sense. You have helped us to live and get our daily bread every day. You have helped us when we are sick, and you have made us healthy. And when we've gone through spiritual nightmares, we have stood our ground and looked Satan in the eye and not back down. And we will not back down. We will move forward because we all want to come home, but we want to bring as many of mankind with us as you want. And we pray, Father, that our hearts are lit up, that these souls can see that we are not like this world, that we are not judging, we are not persecuting, we are not criticizing and ridiculing, but we want, Father, what is best for them, and that is what you want for them, eternal salvation. We are thankful for everything you provided for us in our lives. We take nothing for granted. If there's something we've forgotten, then I know, Father, you will cover it with your hand in this prayer right now. Thank you for everything you do for us. We love you so much. And according to what we pray, and in your name we ask. Thank you, Father. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Love you guys.
Great.